Happy birthday, because I tried to call her, but she
was
not in the ashram.
Do you remember the shloka which we read? 8, isn't it? Sorry?
8.
Then today is 9. Good. Yeah, I can. Yeah. Bimbalambamana pushpame kalagune prashashta ratna kinkini kalapa madhya manjule karindra shunda dandika varoha soba goruke gada karesya siyamang kripa kataksha bhajanam Kada karisya siyama kipa kataksa bhajanam. Your rounded hips are decorated with dangling flowers and tiny tinkling jewel bells hang from the flower belt on your charmingly slender waist. The jingling of those gem bells is exceedingly enchanting. Your beautiful thighs taper like the sloping trunk of the king of elephants. O Shrimati Radhika, when or when will you bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance? O Shrimati Radhika, when or when will you bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance? Here we hear of Shrimati Radharani flower decorations and also a little. It's almost like a belt of little belts made from jewels which move as she moves. It's very interesting in Raghunath Das Goswami's Vilap Kusha Manjali. There's a section of maybe 20 or so verses where the morning bath and the subsequent decorations and ornamentations of Shrimati Radharani are described. Her tilak and her clothes, the color of the clothes, and all this is described in relationship to giving pleasure to Krishna. Shrimati Radharani is the Khladini Shakti, that is the pleasure potency of God, and therefore you will find in these verses many, many amazing details of what gives pleasure to Krishna. For instance, on her chin there is a Kama Yantra. What this means is there is a circle made with a jewel instrument, and inside is a very finely painted lotus flower, and on the lotus flower a dot of musk, which is a fragrant substance like perfume. And Srimati Radharani wears this because this yantra, karma yantra, will attract Krishna's attention. So this was yet another blissful description of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna has an effect. It makes Krishna forget everything. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj writes how Krishna reports that it is driving him mad. Now, mad. When does someone become mad? He becomes mad when he is either just not able to understand something, but becomes obsessed with the thought and always thinks about it again and again and again and again and again, until finally that thought takes possession of him, like for instance the departure of a person who is near to him. Person also becomes mad when he is just challenged with a situation which he cannot handle, like almost a bulb which can only handle 60 watts, but if you put 100 watts through it, it just blows the bulb. So sometimes people have an experience which just blows their mind. They become mad. Or mad is also a state of total ignorance, when just some strange influence comes over you. Now God is how can something make him mad, you know, in the sense of that he can't handle it, you know. He's the source of all sources. Yet it is seen that the love of Radharani is just not comprehensible for him. He just can't understand it. It's overwhelming him, and in order to solve the mystery of Radha's love, he takes an incarnation to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But let us just think for a moment how Krishna becomes mad. There's one particular scene which I would like you to remember. It's when Krishna comes to meet Srimati Radharani in Yavat. He will climb over the wall and will hide behind a tree. And now he has to make a signal that Radharani, I'm here. So the way he does this is he chants in the voice of a cuckoo. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Because just near to Yavat is Kukilvan. Kukilvan means the forest of the cuckoos. So it's just natural that the cuckoo is there. But so Radharani hears that sound and of course becomes immediately she immediately hears this is her beloved Lord Krishna. She comes out, but the old lady Yatila also thinks this is such a nice voice of a cuckoo. I hope it's a real cuckoo and not this Krishna. So she comes always out and says, "Who's there? Who's there?" At the moment she comes out, Krishna, who has just climbed down the tree, again goes up into the tree. Then when she finally goes and rests, again, goo, 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 and he comes down, and Radharani is waiting. Hopefully this time Yatila will remain asleep, but Yatila again comes. "Who's there? Who's there?" So this goes on for a whole night. That means Krishna has become maddened by Srimati Radharani. He's just... Or when Radharani doesn't wish to see him. We are here in Manga, and we know that for increasing the pleasure of Krishna, she sometimes goes into a loving pout, it's called, loving rejection. Then Krishna will dress in all kinds of interesting disguises to see her. She will dress, he will dress like the wife of a barber. He says, "I have this beautiful altar, this red leg, and I'm very expert in putting it on the feet." And then the Sagi say, "Radharani, we found this very expert wife of a barber." And then Krishna paint the feet of Radharani, but he's shaking so much that Radharani says, "What are you doing? Keep the line straight, you know." Or he takes on the disguise of a flower lady who supplies flowers, or he is even ready to take the service of a washer lady. She says, I have discovered a totally new art of washing clothes. If I wash the clothes, they look resplendent and have a certain splendor to themselves. It's not like normal that the clothes may fade in their color. No, they increase in their colorfulness and in their brightness when I wash them. This is my new art. Can I do some service for you, Radharani? Some old cloth, please. So you judge yourself. This is someone who is obsessed with a thought. We have one member amongst us who was, when she first came to Vrindavan, very much carrying the image of a certain potato head. No, everyone has a head like a potato. It's not just one person. I also have a potato head. This is called madness, obsession. So Radha, Srimati Radharani is so much in the mind of Krishna. I think it's from this that the obsessions in this world have made their origin. You know, Krishna is mad for the love of Radharani. Is prepared to do anything and everything to obtain it. Good. I mean, I shouldn't have said potato head, because that's not a nice comparison. Maybe we can put a better comparison, like pumpkin, or no, that's also not nice. A condition so his head is just like it's just a head. Hare Krishna. So now here's a new pastime I've never seen, but it's Once in Dvaraka, an Ashvamedha Yajna was being arranged. Before commencing the Yajna, one opulently decorated horse was released to travel the world. The system for performing this kind of Yajna is that if no one stops the horse, then the Yajna can commence. Do you know of such a... where this was once happening? Ramachandra had such a yajna. You remember that horse of Ramachandra was wandering all over the world. No one wanted to stop it because they all agreed, yes, let him do the sacrifice. Only two boys stopped it. Lava. You know who is Lava and Kush? They are the sons of Ram with Sita, who were born in the hermitage of the forest. I think King the hermit was Vishvamitra, isn't it? Or Vashishta. Vashishta? So, they had never seen Ram. They also didn't know that they were the sons of Ram. But they had the power of Ram. Stop with this Ram. So Bharat was the military commander. And he said, who are you? To dare to stop the horse of Ram and to stop his yajna. It's not important who we are. Bharata said, let the horse free or I will start to fight with you. Oh, they laughed. If he wants to fight us. And Bharata was felled down to the ground by one of the boys. They were so powerful. And Ram had to come and he saw my son's fall from Sita. Aniruddha was heading the group of Yadavas who were traveling the country and protecting the horse. At one point, the horse was stolen by King Bilvala. Bilvala was the king of an island called Panchajanya, which was located at a distance of 30 yojanas from Kapila Muni's ashram at Ganga Sagara, in the middle of the ocean. He had stolen the horse at Prayag and had disappeared. After receiving this information, all the Yadavas went to fight with King Bilvala. While an intense battle was taking place, Aniruddha was attacked by King Bilvala. The Yadavas prayed to Krishna for help. Then Shri Krishna arrived there to protect all the Yadavas. After releasing the horse from the hand of Bilvala, Lord Krishna, along with all his sons and grandsons, marched towards the west. When other kings heard that even Bilvala had been defeated, they did not dare to stop the horse. In this way, the Yadavas reached Braj Mandala after 1 month. Oh, Krishna comes back to Vrindavan. After crossing the river Jamuna, the horse went to see Vrindavan and took rest under a tamal tree. When the cowherd boys of Vrindavan saw this horse in their pastures, they came near the horse out of curiosity. The head of all the cowherd boys was Sudha. He bound the horse with a rope which he used for tying the cows, and brought the horse to Nanda Maharaj to see if he could identify it. Nanda Maharaj took the victory letter from the head of the horse, and when he read it, he was in great ecstasy. He said, "This horse belongs to King Ugrasen. The protector of this horse is my great grandson, Aniruddha. I should stop this horse and keep it with me. Then Aniruddha, who looks like Krishna, will come here. Thus I will have the opportunity to see him." Nanda Maharaj left his palace along with the gopas. In the meantime, all the Yadavas, along with Krishna, after visiting Nayapalitirtha, Mithila, Ayodhya, Bahishmati, Kanjakupya, Jamuna, Balaram Tirtha, and Mathura, had entered Vrindavan with Krishna. Imagine, dear devotees, what now will happen. Nanda Nandana Krishna, while sitting on the chariot with the Yadavas, having darshan of Nandagram, saw his father and all the gopas. See, Krishna blew the conch shell and all kinds of drums began to resound throughout the whole of Vrindavan. Krishna sent a decorated elephant in front of him. Uddhava and all Yadavas shed tears of joy to see Nanda Maharaj. At that time, Nanda Maharaj's right side started to vibrate. Experiencing this auspicious symptom, Nanda Maharaj thought, "Today my right limbs and my right eye are trembling. This indicates something very, very auspicious. Will I see my dear son Krishna today? If I can see him today, then I will donate 100,000 nicely decorated cows to the Brahmanas." While Nanda Maharaj was thinking like this, he received a message from the Brajavasis about the arrival of Krishna. He started to cry, shouting in a choked voice, "Ha Krishna! Ha Krishna!
Ha Krishna!
Ha Krishna!" He was running in all directions, searching for Krishna. He cried, "Krishna, where have you gone? Can't you see your father, who's always staying here in great distress, in separation from you?" When Krishna, who's very dear to his father, saw Nanda Maharaj in this situation, immediately he got down from the chariot and fell at the lotus feet of his father. Nanda Maharaj picked up his dear son from the ground and embraced him, bathing him in tears of ecstasy. Krishna was also shedding tears. When he saw all the gopas, he went to each one of them, embraced them all, and while shedding tears of love for all of them, he fainted. Oh, who can explain the greatness of the devotees in this world? After such a long time apart, in meeting neither Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, the gopas or the Yadavas could speak one word. Krishna, with eyes full of tears and his voice choked with emotion, pacified the gopas. Krishna was the beautiful youthful boy who had left for Mathura. He was blue like the fresh dark rain clouds, beautiful like a small boy in his Kishora age, beautiful like the full moon of spring, and more effulgent than millions of Kandarpas, gods of love. The beauty of Krishna's eyes defeated the morning lotus during the spring season. His smiling face benedicting all those who saw him, he held his murali again. Wow! You must know he leaves his flute in Vrindavan. He feels in Dwarka that no one appreciates his flute playing because they are all after royal music, not the music of the cowherd fields. So he feels shy and reluctant to play his flute. Krishna glanced lovingly upon everyone. He was dressed in yellow clothes. He was decorated with Kostubha mani and makara earrings. His body was smeared with fragrant sandalwood pulp, and a malati flower garland hung from his neck. You must know, when Krishna comes to Vrindavan, he usually gets down from his chariot and exchanges his royal clothing with the simple clothes of the cowherd boys. Give me the dhoti, it's much better, and the jada is much more suitable for Vrindavan. So here we see him already fully dressed in the Vrindavan style. His body was smeared with fragrant sandalwood pulp, and a malati flower garland hung from his neck. On his head was a brightly colored peacock feather. His lips were reddish like ripened bimba fruit, and his nose was a little raised and beautiful. All the Brajavasis, while drowning in bliss, were drinking the nectar of his beauty through their eyes. Nanda Maharaj, out of great love, happily blessed Aniruddha, Samba, and all the Yadavas. Finally, he was free from all distress, so he entered his palace with Krishna and the Yadavas. When Krishna saw his dear mother Yashoda standing at the door with tears in her eyes, Lord Krishna also started to cry and offered his prostrated obeisances to his most beloved mother Yashoda. Yashoda Devi picked up her most beloved son, who's more dear to her than her life, and blessing him, placed him on her lap. She's always the mother, and Krishna is always the small Shishu. In Vrindavan they call him Shishu. Shishu means small boy. Hey Shishu, come here. And all the Brajavasis exchanged talks with Krishna about their well-being. How are you? Well, how are you? Afterwards, Aniruddha set up tents on the bank of the river Jamuna in Mahavan, while Nanda Maharaj arranged an opulent feast to all and fed fresh grasses to the cows and other animals. In the evening, being invited by Radharani, wow, now some ecstasy will happen. In the evening, Krishna was invited by Radharani. He went to the banana garden. This place was private and very cooling. Radharani was in distress due to separation from Krishna. She was suffering so much, surviving just with the hope that one day Krishna would return. When she, Radha, heard from her sakis that Krishna indeed was waiting for her in the banana garden, she immediately went there with all the gopikas. There she washed Krishna's lotus feet, offered him a jewel asan, and asked about his well-being. How are you? In his presence, all her suffering vanished. Since Krishna had left for Mathura, Radharani had never decorated herself with beautiful clothes or jewels. She had never taken tambula and sweets. She had given up sleeping on a bed, and she never ever smiled. Now her life returned to her. Madan Mohan had come home. She was very happy. While shedding tears of happiness, she said in a choked voice, "Oh Gopal, you are Gokulapati. Please tell me why you went to Dwaraka and left Gokula and Mathura. What came into your head? Oh my Lord, in separation from you, one moment appeared to be just like a yuga for me. One hour was like one manvantara, and one day was like a day of Brahma. What kind of inauspicious time was this that I could not see your lotus feet? It was so inauspicious. I was always eager to see your smiling face. You are the knower of everything. How much more of my sad story should I tell you? 100 years have passed, and still the pain of separation has not been lessened by one mustard seed. Overwhelmed once more at the memory of her painful separation from Krishna, Srimati Radhika began to cry. It's actually when we hear how the gopis yearn to see Krishna and how they suffer when they can't see Krishna, all our misery goes away, because in comparison to their misery, which burns them alive, our misery is not very big, even not if we can levitate. Hare Krishna. Seeing Radharani crying like this, Krishna pacified her by saying very sweet words. He said, "Oh Radhe, please do not lament like this. It will affect your body. All the rishis and learned sages know that we both are one. Wherever you are, I am there. We can never be separated. From now onwards, you will always see me next to you. O Radhe, after some time, I will meet with you and the gopis. Together we will proceed towards Goloka Dham." Acha, you must know that Krishna would leave yet another time. Then he would come again to take care of the last demon who was on this planet. His name is Dantavakra. He challenged Krishna, but he went to Mathura because he thought Krishna would not attack. Krishna would leave him alone, being so close to Vrindavan. He would be afraid that in the war the Mathura Vasis and Obrich Vasis would be, attacked and suffer. So he thought Krishna would just not come, because remember they were fighting with heavy missiles, like rockets. Therefore he thought Krishna won't touch me so close to his place, which he somehow sentimentally loves so much. Krishna had left Vrindavan and Mathura for that same reason. He had part of his mission was to kill the demons and he didn't want to convert the beautiful flower gardens of Vrindavan into a horrible battlefield. So he had left to do his mission at a place which was not so close to the Yamuna and to the flower gardens of Vrindavan. I think you remember this. So, but had he really ever met? Here he explains to Radha, he did not. He stayed in an unmanifest form, but from this time onwards, Radharani would see that, and there would be no separation. But Krishna also said, I will come again. And he had in mind this time when Dantavakara would challenge him. And then Krishna, listen to this, he crossed the Yamuna and he took one chariot and he invited all the Brijbasis on the chariot. And he said, we are going to Vrindavan. They left to Goloka Vrindavan. This is how Krishna left with all the Brijbasis. And then he went with another chariot to Dwaraka. And from Dwaraka he left at this form, which is the form of Vasudev Krishna. Gopal Krishna at the mount. Left from Vrindavan to Goloka Vrindavan, Vasudev Krishna, the second form of Krishna, went back to Dwaraka and then arranged the Mosha Leela, his disappearance. The Leela. So now you know. Together, he said, we will, when I come next, proceed towards Goloka Dham. When Radharani heard this from Krishna, she was so happy. And along with the gopis worshipped Krishna very much. After being worshipped by Radharani, at her request, Krishna entered Vrindavan to enjoy the rasa dance with all the Braj gopis. Hare Krishna. That is wonderful. I did not know this. Did you know about this? Bhakti Purushottam Swami is wonderful. We must congratulate him when we see him the next time. So now we will end our little talk on the glories of Radharani. I had in mind to read something which will give pleasure. 8 prayers in glorification of Srimati Radharani. He who has failed to carefully worship the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika, which are the abode of all auspiciousness, he who has not taken shelter in the transcendental abode known as Vrindavan, which is decorated with the beautiful lotus flower named Radha, he who in this life has not associated with the devotees of Radhika, who are very wise and whose devotion for Radha is very deep, how will such a person ever experience the bliss of bathing in the ocean of Lord Syama's sublime mellows? Please understand this most attentively. 3 things. You must worship the lotus feet of Radharani. You must take shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. And you must associate with the devotees of Radhika, who are very wise and whose devotion for Radha is very deep. Only then you can enter the ocean of Krishna consciousness. So it's never a mistake to come to Vashana. Because here you can find all this. You can glorify Radharani. It starts right with the Mangala Arati. Then you can go through the forest where Radharani has walked. And you can associate with the devotees of Radha. And then you can enter the ocean of Krishna consciousness. Are you doing this? Are you worshipping Radha? Are you taking shelter in the forest? And are you associating with the devotees? If you do, then your life is auspicious. Srimati Radhika is the exemplary teacher of the brilliant mellows of conjugal love. This pure love between Radha and Madhava is worthy of discussion and contemplation. Once Radharani asked Vrinda Devi, "Where's Krishna?" Vrinda said, "At Radhakund." "What is he doing there?" Vrinda answered, "Learning to dance." "Who is his dancing teacher?" asked Radharani. Vrinda Devi said, "Your image, which is reflected in every tree, is his dancing teacher." In other words, Krishna sees Radha, Radhe, 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 Gauta, Radhe, "Where are you, Radhe?" "He who has grasped hold of the lotus feet of Radha with great care obtained the lotus feet of Krishna, which are like priceless jewels. Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radha, one can never personally meet Lord Krishna. The Vedic scriptures declare that Krishna is the property of the maidservants of Sri Radha. Abandoning wealth, followers, wives, sons and friends, and giving up materialistic activities and intellectual knowledge, being absorbed in the sweetness of service to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, this is Bhaktivinoda's conviction." So let us absorb ourselves. A very, very, very nice way to absorb yourself in the lotus feet of Radharani is to really go and attend her Mangala Arati. And I hear some of you are doing this. Very, very natural and nice. We go to the temple of Radharani in the morning. You know, this mood. We start our day with greeting Sri Radha. So this ends our little evening discussion. Srimati Radharani ki jai.